What's the official starting time?
It's 1:20. So the topic today is vegetarianism, to be a vegetarian. The halachic and hashkafic view of that. The reason why it's relevant to Parshas Noach is that we know that Adam Rishon was not permitted to kill animals to eat their meat. There is a machlokes rishonim whether he's allowed to eat meat, which had an animal which had died on its own. But he definitely could not kill animals to eat meat. And Noach was told that the Torah the Rishon tells him that the same way he gave Yerek Esev to Adam to eat, you have everything, including the right to kill an animal to eat it. Rabban says that there was. We can get some more. The Rabban says that there was a spiritual degeneration which took place, which is now actually a physical degeneration which took place, which now required that man should eat meat. The Medrash says that he was given meat to eat because as a reward for his care and taking care of. The reason why the species exists is only because of Noah, etc. The question is, a person wants to say he's Adam and he's going back to the state of Adam Arishan before the Chet, you know, before the Dor HaMabul, and he's going to say I'm not going to eat meat. That's something which he could do halachically, and then the question is then is hashkavically. So let's first look at it from a halachic issue. So the question is there a mitzvah to eat meat? During the week, obviously, there's no mitzvah to eat meat. The person wants to eat meat, he could. The person doesn't want to eat meat, doesn't have to. Shabbos and Yom Tov is when the question comes up, and Sudas Mitzvah. Those are three places where you really get involved in the question of is there a mitzvah to eat meat? So in Shabbos, it does not say explicitly there's a mitzvah to eat meat. Shabbos, it says there's a mitzvah to have Arnik Shabbos. So whatever person would find an Arnik for him, that would be what he's supposed to do. Assumption is most people enjoy eating meat, so then they would have mitzvah arnik, they have mitzvah to eat meat. Basar v'dagim v'chol matamim, I think the Zmiras say. But in truth, the mitzvah is not per se to eat meat. There's no, doesn't say there's a mitzvah to eat meat. The mitzvah is to have arnik Shabbos. If a person would find that health reasons, other reasons, he doesn't enjoy eating meat, he has no chiyuv to eat meat on Shabbos. The halach of arnik goes to the extent, even the if a person has a chaloim, a bad chaloim, so we know that a tainus chaloim helps the person, it helps mitigate the impact of the bad chaloim, so he's allowed to fast because that's what he would prefer to do. He'd prefer his emotional state, since he'd rather fast, and that's going to be more pleasure to him than eating, because by fasting he's in some way diminishing the chaloim. So, Al Kedei Kach, that's a mutter. There is a Gemara says that he has to fast for the fast that he fasted on Shabbos. But there is, so on Shabbos, not an issue. The question is Yom Tov. The Rambam passes that the mitzvah to eat, there's a mitzvah to eat basar on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, there's a mitzvah of Simcha v'samata b'chagecho. And the Gemara says that Simcha is with Yayin. Yayin is Hamach Lavav and Rish, and Simcha is with basar. There's a Bach Shamim v'chalto Shom v'samachto. So the Rambam passes that even though we don't have karbonos nowadays, we still have a mitzvah of simcha. Simcha is with basar. The Beis Yosef argues on the Rambam in Tav Kuf Chav Tes. The Beis Yosef argues and says that's referring to karbonos. So b'zman the Beis Yosef understood there was a mitzvah to bring a korban shalom. That was a chiyuv shalom simcha. A person did have a chiyuv to eat basar as karbonos. But nowadays we don't have karbonos anymore, so a person doesn't have a chiyuv to eat basar. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention the chiyuv to eat basar in Siman Tav Kuf Chav Tes. He talks in the midst of Simchas Yom Tov. He does not say that a person has to eat meat on Yom Tov. The Magen Avraham comes and defends the Rambam and says, no, the Rambam is right, and that there is a mitzvah to eat meat on Yom Tov nowadays. And the Mishnah Berurah brings on the Shulchan Aruch, which does not mention, only mentions wine. A person has a mitzvah to drink wine once. The mitzvah to eat wine once a day on Yom Tov, including Chol HaMoed, to have a revius of wine. Mishnah Berurah does bring the Magen Avraham, says like the Rambam, that the person should have basar. He doesn't paskin that it's a chiyuv gomer. He just says that it's a machlokes. It's a mitzvah of simcha l'taro. It's a machlokes, and the person should fulfill the preferably a person should do so. The person gets involved. The question is, can you fulfill it with chicken, etc.? But there's not a clear chiyuv to eat meat on Yom Tov, but definitely there is a strong argument that the person should be eating meat on Yom Tov.
But if there was not a
Beis HaMikdash,
there would be a
chiyuv
on everybody.
A person would have a chiyuv to bring a korban and to have meat in that sense.
Korban mincha wasn't enough.
No, it had to be. It was about the shlomim, bochal to shlomim, somato. Shlomim is a korban, is meat. A sudas mitzvah. So it's the reason why we have a sudas mitzvah because in being sameach with the mitzvah. Interesting anecdotes. In Tel Shishiva, a sudas mitzvah was always fleshing. I never saw bris, which was milk, until I came to Zimmersbury. Like, who serves milk by bris? Sudas mitzvah, you have to have fleshings. See him with fleshings. You know, you had to see everything. There was always fleshings.
9 a.m.
What?
9 a.m.
Now, so there's on the head table for the Rosh Hashivas, Kabakram have, you know, they have iron stomachs and they can eat, you know, deli sandwiches at 8:45 in the morning without a problem. Rosh Hashivas table, they had fish, you know, they had something for that, you know, because they couldn't do it. Now, I already graduated to that generation that I probably would be eating the fish option. What?
Fish counts as meat?
No. If you can't, you can't. So that's the point I'm getting to, that there's an inyan of simcha, but this inyan of simcha is not more chamer than Shabbos. So if a person doesn't enjoy eating meat, it's not more chamer than meat. There is, that being said, there is a milah b'tamidah misameach. By a citizen, there is a milah b'tamidah misameach. So if, according to the Mogen Rum, simcha is with meat, so preferably it should be with meat. Now, an interesting application of this question is a milchah meal on Shavuos. My pesach passes that you can't have milchah meal on Shavuos to the point that if somebody's invited out to milchah meal, they don't go home, wash again, and eat fleshings. Right? You have to eat fleshings. As soon as you have to eat fleshings, not everybody agrees with that. So that is an interesting, in regards to the chiyuv to eat meat. So there is a good argument that there are some times that a person would be mechuyav to eat meat on Yom Tov. Mishnah Berurah's hakroah is strongly that a person should do so. It's not a chiyuv gomer, because according to the Shulchan Aruch, not mechuyav to, but it's a strong argument that a person should do so. So halachically, preferably a person should be doing so, but if a person says, you know, I find that I just don't enjoy it, I find that it's something which I have difficulty in stomaching, I don't enjoy eating it, so I can't tell him that he has a chiyuv gomer to eat meat. The question is, hashkafically, coming from a hashkafic angle, where do we stand on that? So there's a lot of this is obviously the temperature gets high sometimes in the discussions about this. Some people get very, you know, heated about it. What was interesting to me was I was really interested in looking into that. I had heard said many years ago that Rav Kook was a vegetarian, and I heard that from different people, etc. And I actually saw it quoted from a Jewish Orthodox vegetarian website that Cook was a vegetarian. So I did a little looking into that, exactly what his position was on this issue, because I was curious to see what was his position. And there's a beautiful essay called Chazon HaTzimchonot, the vision of vegetarianism, which he talks about it. And after reading it, I'm pretty convinced he was not a vegetarian, and I looked into it a little more, and there's definitely, his son was asked this question multiple times, and he always said his father definitely ate meat. So the quote is not correct. The source of the mistake is definitely, there's room to see where the mistake is. His presentation goes the following, just, you know, we have the, at least I want to give over his point, is that we see that clearly Adam Rishon was originally told not to eat meat. It means there was a state of being a man where the man was not supposed to eat meat. It was permitted at some point in time as it were a recognition of the fact that the man had become diminished in some way, and therefore it was permitted. And there's going to be a period of time when Mashiach comes where we will go back to that state of not eating meat. There's a medrash. The medrash says that all karbonos will be bottle, loss of love. The Rambam seems to say like that. The Rambam says that there will be bottled. The avoid of Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be through seichel, etc., contemplating Hakadosh Baruch Hu, not through kabbalas at some point in time. That's a Rambam in Marina Bukim. There's a Rambam in Mishnah Torah, which Rambam says if one of the conditions of the fulfillment of the person coming and being defined as Mashiach is he rebuilds the Beis Hamikdash and he brings kabbalas. So that's not going to happen immediately. Obviously, because the Rambam puts that as one of the conditions that defining if a person is Vade Mashiach, if he doesn't accomplish that, rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, bring him Kabbalas, he says he's not Mashiach. He hasn't reached the full stage of being Mashiach yet. You know, if that, you know, the Rambam has two stages about Mashiach. The person who presents himself as Mashiach, there are two stages of his status of being clarified as Mashiach. The Rambam has a two-stage process to prove that really he is Mashiach, etc. But one of the conditions is that being rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, being Kerbonis. So this Rambam, which says that there's going to be a time that Kerbonis will be bottled, that's not immediately, and that's not necessarily the definition of the Messianic time. It's some stage beyond that. But that being said, there is going to be some stage, LP Medrash, etc., which says we're going to go back to that. What about in between? What should our Hagga be? So he says that to a person to undertake to try and live with this state of not eating meat would be incorrect for multiple reasons. He says, first of all, in the ladder of things that we need to address in society, the issues between man and man take priority. Once you've solved all the issues between man and man, yes, you should address the issue between man and animal. He says, but I have not seen society getting anywhere near solving the problem between man and man that we should be addressing the issues between man and animal. That's his first point.
His first point? Sorry.
What? This is a cook. Okay. He says, the next thing, which is, you know, he says, the result of the elevating the animal to the status of being equivalent to man will not be that we will stop violence against animals. It means that we will end up with cannibalism. We'll end up as cannibals because there's nothing different between eating meat of animals and eating meat of men, so we'll just eat meat of men already. Right? So that's going to be the reality of our society. Raising the animal up is just going to reduce the human being down to a state of being of everything's equal. Then his third argument, which goes along with that, is which the Malbim suggests is that, or her suggests that the reason why man was told to eat meat is to remind him that he's not an animal. That was part of the issue of what was before the Malbim, that the human beings saw themselves the same as animals, so we can act like animals. So we need to be reminded that we're not animals, and that's why the Torah gave us this permission to eat meat, to remind us. And the fourth thing he says is, and this is a fascinating thought. I'll give you the context of where I think about it. I remember I once had this discussion. Tells Yeshiva they have a mikvah in the dorm. We're not into going to the mikvah for men in any major way. But when the dorm was being built back in 1963-64, there were a few. Chassidish Rebbe, the Mukach Rebbe's son, who's now the president of Mukach Rebbe, the Spinker Rebbe's son, who's now the president of Spinker Rebbe, were learning in Tel Yeshiva. So the Spinker Rebbe came to the Yeshiva and said he would cover the cost for the construction of a mikveh for men in the dorm. So there's a mikveh for men in the dorm. It's open Erev Shabbos. It's not open during the week. It wasn't open during the week. And the Bachim, who came from a Chassidish background, who had a minute to go every day, they had a key. But the other Bachim were not permitted and were discouraged to undertake such a practice. So I'm having a conversation with one of another individual, I'd say probably 2021. He's like, what's the problem? Why are they locking the door? What's wrong with that? So I gave him the following thought process. I said, okay, Bachim wakes up one day, he wakes up, you know, I'm not happy with where I am in life. You know, I'm not learning enough. I'm not doing enough. I need to do better. So the Yetzer Hara, and he's really serious. So the Yetzer Hara is getting very nervous. And this guy's really serious. He's going to like really change. He's going to learn more. He's going to be daven better. He's going to be paired with Lashon Hara, Shabbos, Kashrus. This guy's going to go all the way. he can't stop him and tell him just, you know, not do anything because the, you know, he's really revved up. See, Yetzirah comes to him and says, mikvah, go to mikvah every morning. The guy says, yeah, mikvah, kedusha, tahara. The guy's all revved up, mikvah, and no more learning, extra learning, and no more extra davening, and no more lashon hara, no more shavs and kashrus. Mikvah, yetzirah. This is what Rabbi Cook says. He says, you find that even the most degenerate individuals still have elements of which are positive about them. They want to be morally good. Lavan. I mean, he doesn't say this, but you think about Lavan, you know, right? Yaakov plans to stop Lavan. How's he going to stop Lavan? Rachel bit Machtana. The guy couldn't care less. Who cares? What's Rachel bit Machtana going to help? The answer is Lavan. I'm not a bad person. I wouldn't cheat you. I'm not a sheep. You know, listen, it's the meaning of the book, and what do you want from me? It wasn't my fault. This is the standard over here. I have to go. The holder has to go. So he said, okay, well, we'll make the but if Lavan couldn't care less, like, what was the plan? Yaakov Lavan did care. Yaakov didn't look at himself as a bad person. Everybody wants to express their higher morality in some way. He says, if you become a vegetarian, what you're going to do is express your higher morality in taking care of the animals, and you couldn't care less about the humans. But if you don't do that, hopefully you'll express your moments of higher morality towards human beings in a positive way. But otherwise, you're going to take that. It reminds me of Beruchim says a fascinating thought. He says that the Chazal say that tzaddikim say very little and do a lot, and Rishoyim say a lot and do nothing. He says even little they don't. He says what's the pshat? He says a person gets revved up. He has energy. You got to let it out. So if you don't say anything, you let out the energy in doing. If you talk about it, you let all your energy in the talking. There's nothing left to do afterwards. It's like the pressure cooker. You have the valve letting out all the energy. So what's nothing left afterwards? So that's the fourth point that Rav Kook says. He says, that's what we're afraid of. That being said, the Torah came along and created a balance of how we deal with it. He says, when you shech the animal, if it's an animal which is... has worked for you and you've invested in it, you have a right to see the blood. It's an animal which you just captured, so you should feel uncomfortable. Like, you know, I'm leaving the blood out there. Wow, it's embarrassing. So you should have an element of I have to cover the blood. Kisi Adam. And he goes through, etc., how the different halachas we have about the halachas of shechita, the halachas of how we deal with food from animals, many different halachas, the chaylev, basa b'chalev, even Shatnas, he talks about Semer and Pishtim. All of those are to create in us an awareness that this is not the optimal way to live. So you're going to do it knowing that this is not the perfect way to live. But to not do it, he says, is dangerous, because you're going to end up with all of these other problems. So you end up with this. That's his approach. It's a fascinating approach. There is a fascinating, I just wanted to tell you that there's a fascinating ikrim, which Mamash touches on this shtickle. The Ikrim says this piece. He says that this was the conversation with Cain and Hevel. Hevel brought a sacrifice, an animal. Cain brought from vegetation. He says, because Cain had elevated animals to the level of man. So how could you sacrifice an animal to God? He says the result was that he killed Hevel. Because, you know, you equate everybody. Well, the animal world kills if there's issues. So I can also kill a human being if there's issues. You know, we picture the animal world as being this nice. Well, you know, it's not a nice place. The jungle's not a nice place. You know, you watch your National Geographic videos. You know, there's killing all over the place. It's gory, right? So let's do it, human beings also. That was Cain. That was the result of what happened with Cain. This idea of elevating the animal up to the man was the result that he took man down to the animal and he destroyed his brother. So it's a fascinating Ikrim. They quote Ikrim, by the way, that the Ikrim talks about the devastation station. He talks about the idea that there's a mile of being equating being a vegetarian. He does say that in that piece, that the Cain's point came from a positive element. But I think, you know, the overall picture, he said, what Rav Kook was saying was that, you know, there's danger in it. And you have to be if I could tell you that all vegetarians who do it for moral reasons were people who are on our higher moral standards and everything else that they do vis-a-vis man to man, you know, that would be nice, you know, but that's not necessarily the reality. So it ends up becoming something which is a scary thing. One last quote. I just on the way here, I heard a quote. I was listening to a shiur about this. I don't have the source for it. But some individual points out, if you stop using animals as subjects for medical research, you'll end up using human beings as subjects for medical research. Right? That's the fear that we have to be aware of. So if a prison woman says, I don't like meat, don't they? A prison says, I have difficulties health-wise, okay? No problem. A person says that I'm worried about all the additives and the pesticides, et cetera, and the animals, okay, I get it. A prison woman is saying, the Torah is wrong because the Torah allows something which really is immoral and we can't, God knows what he's doing. If a person would say this is what the Torah wants, so that was what Rav Kook was talking about, was there is an element of such a message in the Torah, but it has to be tremendously balanced, and the danger of getting the correct balance is going to be very difficult. So I think that's an interesting twist on the understanding of the Hashkafic approach of the Torah towards vegetarianism.